Into hour number three, the Jim Rome Show. Thanksgiving weekend, Friday. Good to be with all of you. I am Sean Pendergast, Sean the Cablinasian, to some of you. Hopefully to all of you who are listening by the end of the show. Good to be with all of you. 855-212-4CBS. Just cruising along on a Friday. Bryant McFadden, former NFL defensive back, is going to join me in the next segment. He's a former Steeler, so I'm anxious to talk to him about this situation with the Steelers and the Ravens in this game that I'm still looking and still looks like it's on the schedule for Sunday. I've not gotten a push alert or anything. I've got my phone sitting right here. But the Ravens facility is closed till Monday. And oh, by the way, they have a game on Sunday. At some point, the Ravens have to get on either a plane or a bus or a train, stagecoach, something to go from Baltimore to Pittsburgh. So we'll see what happens there. But I'm anxious to talk to a former Steeler, but a former NFL player about that situation. The Steelers are not happy about this, by the way. Thanksgiving, supposed to be Thanksgiving night, then it got postponed to Sunday. Then we'll see where it goes from here. But even after the game got postponed from Thanksgiving, a bunch of Steelers took to Twitter to express their anger at the NFL's decision to move the game even once. I can only imagine what's going to happen if they move it to a week 18 or they cancel it altogether. Juju Smith-Schuster, first, this is quote, first the NFL takes away our bye week because another team can't get their COVID situation together. Now they take away our Thanksgiving primetime game for the same reason, SMH. Oh, I didn't even think about that. Having the big stage to yourself? Yeah. No primetime game for you. You're buried at 1:15 Eastern time. You're buried at 1:15 Eastern time, Juju Smith-Schuster, on Sunday? That is if the game takes place. And oh, by the way, you're on NBC, which nobody goes looking for NBC on a football Sunday. Eric Ebron said, I'm not going to lie, at NFL, this is, okay, I can't say that word, bull bleep. To talk about what exactly, he continues to say, they continue to keep bleeping us. We had a week 4 bye because of this. Now the only time we look forward to some rest was one of the biggest primetime games we no longer have. We keep getting screwed this year. This is what I would tell the Steelers. You're 10-0. You are 10-0. And you have a chance to not only rid us of these 72 Dolphins, these fossils that keep pulling out the champagne every year when the first or the last NFL team finally loses a game. You can not only run the table and do that, but you can do it in a 19-game season, 16 plus the playoffs. And you can do it by saying, we did it with the opposite of an asterisk. We did it when the league kept moving our games around all the time. So, hey, 72 Dolphins, put an asterisk on your undefeated season. It wasn't as long as ours, and you didn't have to deal with a pandemic. Chase Claypool's chiming in. What a joke. Duck Hodges. Okay, Duck Hodges. You're the third string quarterback. You're Duck Hodges. I think there's a certain level of player that's allowed to tweet about this and complain about it. 855-212-4CBS. Of course, the Jim Rome Show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Okay, I gave out the phone number if you want to call in. That is the number, 855-212-4CBS. I have been listening to this show since 1997. I've been a caller since 1997. I've gone to Jim's tour stops in not just here in Houston. He's done three of them. I've been to tour stops in Detroit, in Madison, Wisconsin, Sacramento, California, Southern California, probably Kansas City. I'm leaving some places out, I'm sure. If I'm leaving places out, I know that this guy will know where we've been because at all of these, I was there with the man wearing the Cade McNown jerseys in the pictures. That would be Silk Bra, Huntington Beach. Silk, happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, yo.
Hey, yo. What's up, bro?
Not much, bro. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Congratulations on your recent nuptials, bro. And the people who actually might be almost as, maybe more successful than you are your kids, bro. Your kids are out of control with their success. But,
thank you.
But yeah, you're killing the game, bro. But let's address this right off the bat. So the guy who does your bumper, whatever it's called, you know, the Jim Rome Show, whatever, can we give him a break and get someone else to do it? Maybe he recorded him, but he's obviously struggling. That guy's throat is awful. Hopefully he doesn't have anything serious. But I can't listen to that intro anymore, Brad. He's got a frog in his throat.
Now, yeah, he's scratchy right now, man. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, it's rough. I feel bad. Can you guys, I'm sure he's with you there in Houston. Can you get him some hot tea or some heat up some sweet tea or something?
He's not. He's not with me in Houston. He's a network guy. The network hires him. The network has him do so. And this is probably a busy time of year for him because there's a lot of substitute hosts, you know?
This is rough, bro. Well, listen, I love your take. What I find funny about these Steeler players is that they're tagging at NFL in these tweets. As if it's the NFL's fault that the Baltimore Ravens can't get their act together, like the NFL seeded their complex with COVID. These players are so hypocritical and lame. Why aren't they calling out their fellow players? Hey, at Ravens, tell your strength coach to not go to strip clubs and walk around without masks or whatever they're doing down there. The NFL didn't do this, bruh. So it's the same thing I struggle with because I have kids back in the classroom now. And you get parents complaining to the district. How about this? Personal responsibility. Follow the guidelines. Be safe. Do what you're supposed to do. And you won't have to worry about it. That's the problem. Juju Smith-Schuster. But what NFL, Roger Goodell did not give the Ravens COVID. They did it to themselves, bro. Sorry, I had to get on my soapbox a little bit, bro. But listen, how are you doing? By the way, you've come a long way from playing Xbox in your dorm room at Notre Dame with Alfonso Ellis, bro. I mean, you really are awesome.
Silk, what was your favorite tour stop that we went to?
Can it ever really be beat, you and I literally stealing Bobby Higginson's fans away, signing autographs? The Bobby Higginson line just disappears while you and I are signing autographs at the tour stop, and Higginson's going, who is this? Who are those guys? That was pretty great. Madison was good. Meeting George Brett. Oh, how about our appearance on Maz and Grunhard, dude? We were awesome back then. We should have been a radio team.
Yeah, we were. Silk, we would have been really good. And how about we were like mixing drinks at Bill Moss's house? Like we were taking over the bar. He had a big movie screen showing the Tyson fight back there. That was fun.
That was good. It did backfire on me when I was behind Moss's wet bar. And the greatest thing was there was this big like 11x14 black and white photo of him sacking Mark Malone when he was the Steelers quarterback.
Right.
And I'm over there and I'm like, hey, Maz, I got your bar. I got your pit shot glasses. And then he put his arm around my then girlfriend, who is now my wife, and said, yeah, but I got your chick. And I'm all, game, set, match, Maz, bro.
Yeah. And he's way bigger than you. And that's an ego blow. So what, Silk, what grade are you teaching? Like, and how would you categorize yourself as a teacher? Are you the cool teacher? Are you a strict teacher? Like, you seem pretty laid back, I would think.
Yeah, I got into teaching later in life. So, I'm tough but tender. You know, the kids know what they're going to get. Yeah, I'm a little more laid back. I actually like engaging with the students. But, you know, the rules are the rules, and we got to follow them. But it's high school. It depends on the year. It's high school history. So the 10th graders do world history, the 11th graders U.S. And then depending, right now I'm not doing this, but the 12th graders do half the year. They do government, half econ. So
nice.
Right now it's just world and U.S. But yeah, it's high school. It's cool. Listen, teaching in Huntington Beach, my commute is about a mile and a half.
That's beautiful.
You know, my high school is one block from the beach, so it's pretty cool, man.
All right, Silk, before I let you go, how much pleasure did you take in the Astros finishing 29-31 this year? Be honest with me. We're friends.
Wait, the what team do you say?
The Astros.
Yeah, what? Astros. Nope, never heard of them. Listen, they're scum cheaters. You all know that. And our mutual friend, I'm not going to say his name, but his initials are Adam Clanton, and him and his the Dodgers, and it's an asterisk. I'm like, come on, dude. Listen, Mookie Betts has been forgiven by the Lord and by Dodgers fans and by every higher power there is, and he is now a Dodger for life. It's going to be awesome. And yeah, exactly. Screw the Astros. I feel bad for you down there, dude. James Harden constantly looking for his mouthpiece. Astros cheating. The Astros owner, truculent, of course. Yeah. Bill O'Brien, bruh, we don't even need to go down that road. Yeah. What the hell has been going on? Hey, at least Notre Dame, bruh, looking good.
Yeah, looking good. They play a little later today. Silk, bruh, it's good to hear your voice, man. I appreciate you checking in.
Love you, man. Of course, Bri. As you know, I support you from afar. Say hi to Amy and shout out to all the Houston clones. Bri. And wait, Brad usually calls in to roast the guest host. So, Brad, I know he's knee deep in IPAs right now. Brad, get in here, Bri. Roast me, roast Sean, roast everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Bri, appreciate it. Love you. Silk Bri.
Later, Bri.
Later, Bri. Later, Bri. That's pretty, that's actually, like, people don't realize, that's like a pretty cool moment for me. Silk is a, Silk is, of all the people I've met through this show, he's my best friend of the people I've met through this show. And he's overall just a really good friend of mine. To be on the host end of a Later Bra from Silk, that's a cool moment for me. I'm going to enjoy it for a second. Yeah, Brad, call in, man. That's what I've heard. I've heard that, I've seen that from a lot of people on Twitter, that Brad's deal is that he calls in to roast the guest hosts. I'm cool with it. He already does it once a year anyways in the smack off. What's the difference? He does it once in the summer. Why not come in the holiday season and do it? Back in the day, there was only WrestleMania. And then they created Survivor Series. Brad, this can be your Survivor Series moment. 855-212-4CBS if you would, if you'd like to get in on the show. Yeah, man, Silk and I used to go up and down the highways and byways with each other to these Rome tour stops. Those were fun. Those were fun days. Look forward to the pandemic being over. Got to talk Jim into doing some of those tour stops again. Those were good times. All right, 855-212-4CBS. If you want to get in, you can hit me on Twitter, at Sean T. Pendergast. A quick reminder as well that the undefeated Errol the Truth Spence Jr. risks it all, puts his title on the line against Philly's own Danny Swift Garcia in the biggest fight of the year. It all goes down Saturday, December 5th, live on pay-per-view. Buy now on foxsports.com/PPV and watch it on any screen you want. If you want to get in, 855-212-4CBS. Bryant McFadden, former NFL defensive back. He will join me in the next segment. Want to get his thoughts on COVID's impact on the NFL, COVID's impact on the schedule this week with the Steelers and the Ravens. I do want to get his thoughts on Florida State as well. Florida, there's a big article about Florida State on ESPN.com. And if you're in my age bracket, which is somewhere between 22 and 62, all right, I'll narrow it down. It's somewhere between 25 and 59. Okay, I'm 51 years old. If you are around my age, then Florida State is one of the formative programs from your formative years of becoming a college football fan. I'm not going to say, like, from the time I remember, they were great. They got great, like, in the mid-80s. Thereabouts, you know, Deion Sanders, and then in the early 90s, Charlie Ward, Derrick Brooks. I mean, the 90s, it went to a next level, but they were the one team. They were in the top five every year, it felt like. And, you know, from pretty much my beginning of watching college football time until fairly recently. I mean, they won a national championship 6-7 years ago. And there were very few dips in performance in that time. Like 8-4 was considered a bad year towards the end of the Bobby Bowden era. Oh my God. They would kill somebody right now to be 8-4. Florida State. And Bryant McFadden was part of the 2000s with Bobby Bowden. He was there towards the end of the Bobby Bowden era, relatively speaking. I mean, Bowden was there for like 40 years. He was there, drafted in 2005 into the NFL. So we'll talk to Bryant McFadden. I do want to get his thoughts because Florida State, it's gone off the rails since Jimbo's last year there, Jimbo Fisher's last year. So we'll talk about that and a whole lot more. NFL talk coming up next. Bryant McFadden, former defensive back, analyst for CBS Sports HQ, is going to join me on the program. If you want to get in, we'll take calls in the final segment for sure. Been a fun Friday. Really enjoying the opportunity to get this, to do this, I should say. 855-212-4CBS, Twitter at Sean T. Pendergast. Bryant McFadden next. You're listening to The Jungle on CBS Sports Radio. It is the Jim Rome Show. I'm Sean Pendergast, a.k.a. Sean the Cablinasian, with you on a Friday here on The Rome Show. Hope you're having a great Thanksgiving weekend. Appreciate you lending me your ears. I'm sure with football going on in the background and football yesterday, football tomorrow, football Sunday, it's going to be a great football weekend. Before we get to our guest, with the Capital One Venture Card, you can earn 100,000 bonus miles you can actually use, redeemable for vacation rentals, car rentals, and more when you spend $20,000 in your first year. What's in your wallet? Limited time offer, terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details. Speaking of football, great to be joined right now by a former NFL defensive back. He is an NFL analyst for CBS Sports HQ, a Florida State Seminole as well. I want to talk about that with him too. Bryant McFadden joining me on the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio. Bryant, it's great to talk to you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family also.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that. So this Steelers-Ravens thing, you know, the Steelers, and I know you're a former Steeler, the Steelers kind of lashing out at the NFL for postponing the game from Thursday to Sunday. Who knows what's going to ultimately happen with this game? Do you think the Steelers are aiming their anger at the right target? Should it be the NFL they're angry with, or should part of them maybe kind of be angry with the Ravens that they're having this outbreak in their locker room?
Yeah, they should be mad at the NFL because the Steelers basically had their bye week taken from them because of the issue that occurred earlier in the season with the Tennessee Titans. People forgot about that. The Steelers have yet to have a bye week, and they will not have a bye week, but they have not allowed that mishap to hamper their success, and they've just been going about their business. But they should be mad at the NFL for postponing the ball game at the time they decided to postpone it, and then also being able to reprimand the Ravens for not following the proper protocols. It seems like they did not do everything in their power to be able to police this situation from allowing it to be an outbreak, and because of that, the game was postponed from Thursday. It's supposed to be Sunday, but Sean, in all honesty, I don't expect to see those guys play on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't either, Brian. I agree with you on that. I'm curious, put us in the shoes of a player. Pretend you're a member of the Steelers right now. Can you just take us through the Titans earlier in the year? Like you said, they were getting physically and mentally prepared to play that game, rug pulled out from underneath them. And now this one, I don't know that there's a bigger rivalry in the AFC right now than Ravens and Steelers. You've been part of those games. There's no Tom Brady in the AFC anymore. I think that's the rivalry. The emotional peak you've probably got to get ready for that. And then they go, sorry, not Thursday, going to be Sunday. And now probably, sorry, not going to be Sunday. We don't know when it's going to be. What's that like for a player to have to go through kind of those emotional swings like that?
It's something that you're not used to. It's unfamiliar territory, but it is what it is. We knew going into this season, most players, most organizations, most coaches would experience something they never experienced before. Heck, as fans, we're experiencing things that we never experienced before just from watching the ball game and not knowing if there will be a game to be played or if there won't be a game to be played. So for players, you know, this is kind of the new norm, to say the least. You get up for a ball game, you hear that the ball game could be postponed or canceled for a later date, and you have to continue to go about your business. But one thing I can say, throughout all the, I guess, the unknowns throughout the season, the team that has handled this unusual season the best has been the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, undefeated. And like, look, in some ways, if the Steelers are able to get through this season, having played all 16 games and having played two of the tougher opponents on their schedule, at times that are different than they were originally scheduled. I said this earlier, Brian. I'm like, you know what? They should take an asterisk and put it on the Miami Dolphins 1972 team because they didn't have to do that like the Steelers will have had to if they remain undefeated the rest of the year.
Oh, no question. I mean, me personally, I don't believe in putting asterisks on any championship. A championship is a championship. I don't care where you played it, how you played it. A championship is a championship. But this has been a very, very difficult year for any NFL organization. So for you to be able to handle that adversity the best and being able to stay focused clearly tells you the leadership is in place, the coaching staff is in place, and you got quality guys that understand what the ultimate goal is.
Hey, actual football question about the Steelers, and I'm interested to ask you this because you had to go against some of these guys in practice every day. You were a Steeler from 05 to 08 and then back with the Steelers 2010, 2011. You won a couple Super Bowls with them. You went to another Super Bowl. You were there for a real heyday early in the Ben Roethlisberger era. I say this all the time. How the Steelers find these wide receivers is uncanny to me. And going back to when you were playing there and they're finding Antonio Brown in the sixth round and Mike Wallace in whatever round they found him, and then it's Juju Smith-Schuster or it's Emmanuel Sanders, and now it's Chase Claypool they find in the second round. What is it about the Steelers and their scouting department where they're able to find all these wide receivers?
You know, Sean, a few weeks ago on my podcast that I have with Patrick Peterson, All Things Covered. We also do that on CBS as well. Mm-hmm. I had Mike Tomlin on as a guest, and that was one of the questions I asked Mike Tomlin. It seems like, you know, your organization, you guys always hit on wide receivers. And to answer my question about why they've been so successful when it comes to that position. He said that he uses Hines Ward as the ultimate wide receiver image. And they look for players, they look for football players that happen to play wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Because when you find those type of guys, you can do a lot more with them, and they just love the game of ball. And if you look at some of the guys that you mentioned in past tense, guys that were drafted, not high-round guys, mid-round guys, but played real good football there in the organization, they all love football. They all are football players. And Chase Claypool, one thing that people forgot about with Chase, before he became a big-time featured pass catcher there at Notre Dame, he made a living on special teams. And if you're a wide receiver and if you're successful playing special teams, you're a ball player. That's all I need to see. If I see a wide receiver running down on kickoffs and making tackles or blocking people like it's the only thing he can do, if you give it your all in that element of the ball game, no question you're going to be successful when it comes to catching passes. And that's what we're seeing right now with Chase Claypool. He's a football player that happens to play wide receiver.
Are those the hardest guys to face as a defensive back? Are those types of guys, are they the hardest ones to face, the ones that just have that down-in, down-out love of football?
Oh, no question, because they can play my position. I don't want to go against a wide receiver that has a defender mentality. No, because now that's a brawl. When you look at guys like that, you got to look at guys like Hines Ward, the Anquan Boldens of the world. You don't want to have that type of battle play in and play out when you're going against an offensive-minded guy that has the heart and the mentality of a defender who does not mind putting his body on the line or driving in the car with no seatbelt. Those are the reckless guys you don't want to play against, and those are guys that definitely would take you all the way down to the last quarter. So me personally, Chase Claypool is that type of player. Juju Smith-Schuster, you can go on and on and on. When you look at the wide receivers, the history of the game with that organization, they draft football players that happen to play wide receiver.
Bryant McFadden joining me on the Jim Rome Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, Bryant, as a former DB, how would you feel preparing against this version of Tom Brady, the version of Tom Brady that at least in the recent few games here has had a lot of trouble pushing the ball down the field?
You should feel confident. Now, the thing is, the most confusing part about Tom is that his personnel is outstanding. But the most important unit is not, which is the offensive line. Yeah. So me personally, quality pass catchers up and down that roster, but that offensive line is basically the issue when you look at the entire offense, along with the individual play of Tom Brady. For some reason, Tom Brady does not look like Tom Brady that we even saw last year in New England. The deep ball is flat. Is not traveling. The chemistry is not there with his pass catchers, and I think they're trying to do too much. So me personally, the best way to establish confidence in any quarterback is to establish a ground and pound game. But they can't do that, and they're not trying to do that. That has been the issue with Tampa. When you think about Tampa, Sean, offensively, what is their identity? They have none. They have no identity. You don't know what you will see from Tampa week in and week out. 2 weeks ago, we saw Rojo Ronald Jones tear up Carolina. Right, I think he almost had 200 yards. The following week, they didn't even feature him. He wasn't a featured guy. He didn't even get the amount of opportunities that he got against Carolina. So me personally, they have no identity. And right now, Tom Brady is playing bad football from the quarterback position.
Are you surprised? You're a former teammate of Antonio Brown. You were a teammate of his when he was a young player in the league. I think he came in 2010. So you were there his first couple of years. So you've watched, like the rest of us, just Antonio evolve into one of the greatest receivers to ever play, and then whatever he's been going through the last couple of years. Tom Brady seems to really have taken a liking to Antonio Brown. He's putting him up at his house and things like that. What goes through your head when you see that kind of connection that Tom Brady has with Antonio Brown?
I mean, I love that connection because if you can get the best out of an AB, especially away from the football field, I'm all for it. But me personally, I know why they went out to acquire, to sign AB because of the injury concerns at the wide receiver position. But me personally, I don't think that was a big need for them. They don't have a third down back. They don't have a quality back that can catch the football out of the backfield on third down opportunities. The personnel of the offensive line has been in a flux. They've been inconsistent. And pass catchers is probably the one position you didn't really need to devote any attention to. Granted, it's hard to say no to Antonio Brown, especially if he wants to join your organization. But they have so many other needs and concerns on that offense that I felt like they should have addressed instead of the pass catching position. But it is what it is now, guys. They got to find a way to establish an identity and get the best out of the quarterback and the offensive line.
Bryant McFadden joining me on CBS Sports Radio, the Jim Rome Show. You can find him CBS Sports HQ and his All Things Covered podcast. I want to ask you, Brian, about Florida State. Of course, you were one of the really good players of.
Please don't.
Can I ask you one question about Florida State?
Go ahead.
Okay, good. I'm just making sure you're the guest. I want to make sure. But I think I know what your reaction is going to be just based on what you said there. There was that ESPN article last week that talked about the late years of Jimbo Fisher towards the end before he left for A&M. And it depicts a picture of a program that's kind of starved for resources, a lot of infighting and things like that. Here's my question. Was it an accurate depiction in your mind, and what's the solution to this thing?
You know, it's funny that you mentioned Jimbo, because I just had Jimbo on my most recent episode, All Things Covered Pod.
You and get Jimbo, good guests.
Yeah. Great. Hey, Sean, every week we're trying to deliver top flight guests week on the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and check it out. And same for all the people that are listening to us right now. But I talked to Jimbo, and Jimbo loves football. And I think we might have conversated for about 40 minutes, Sean. And most of the 40 minutes was about Florida State. Mm-hmm. And me listening to Jimbo, he still loves Florida State. And the way how that relationship, you know, ended, me personally, I didn't like it. I felt like Jimbo should have retired as the head coach at Florida State whenever he wanted to walk away from the ball game. And now, going back to your initial question, when you look at the resources and things, how things have been handled, clearly they haven't been handled the right way. I mean, we're on our what third coach in the last 4 or 5 years or something like that. That's not good football, and we're still trying to find our way, and it's going to take some time. Now, will they give Mike Norvell the amount of time to be able to establish things? I don't know. Maybe so, because they didn't give Willie Taggart that amount of time to establish things. So we're in a very, very difficult position right now, unfamiliar territory, but our fans need to be patient. It's possible, because they are spoiled. They're used to winning. They're used to being competitive and relevant. But right now, we're just not that ball club. So the best way to change that, me personally, you got to get some guys into that organization, university that is, that are willing to fight and love the game of football. You got to find players that are willing to leave it all on the line at any given Saturday for the organization, for the team, for their teammates, and then be able to develop these said players as well. So it goes hand in hand.
We got a minute before I get you out of here. You and I have a common friend. What goes through your mind when I say the words Travis Johnson?
Hey, that's my roommate, man.
I know.
Yes, sir. Matter of fact, I talked to Travis yesterday. We visited Florida State together. We actually were on the Rivals All-American team, so we had a few trips together out in L.A. and Hawaii and Chicago. But, man, Travis, man, is like a brother to me, man. He spoke highly of you, too, also when he found out I was going to be joining you today with you filling in for Jim Rome. So Travis had nothing but good things to say about you, and I know it's vice versa.
Yeah, Travis is the best, and he gives great wedding gifts, as I'm sure you know. He's the best. He Travis Johnson, former first-round pick of the Texans, former teammate of Bryant McFadden. My text to him was, hey, I have Bryant McFadden coming on. Are you know, I know you guys went to Florida State together. Are you still buddies? And which is a dumb question, because Travis is buddies with everybody on earth. He's friends with literally everybody. But he said the same thing. He said, that's my kid's godfather and my former roommate. He sent me a picture from back of you guys in college, and Travis is bowing up and flexing, and you were smiling. So it was pretty cool, man. Bryant, man, I appreciate you coming on the show. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. All Things Covered podcast, CBS Sports HQ. Really enjoyed the conversation, my friend.
Man, I appreciate you having me, man. Be safe this weekend, and make sure everybody who's listening to me, man, if you want to listen to some entertaining, informative conversations, please check out that All Things Pod on CBS. We just had Jimbo Fisher on, Mike Tomlin, J.R. Smith, DeAndre Hopkins, Kyron Matthew, Juju Smith, man. We got John Rahm was on, so we've been bringing on some heavy hitters on. Check us out.
Have you ever. Bryant McFadden, appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving, Bryant. There it is. Bryant McFadden joining me on the show. All right, bottom of the hour. If you want to get in, final segment coming up, 855-212-4CBS. It's the bottom of the hour. It's time for a sports update. Here's Erica Herskowitz. All right, final segment of the show. This has been a lot of fun for me today. Hopefully it's been fun for you listening in. I appreciate you lending me your ears. Sean Pendergast in for Jim Rome. Sean the Cablin Asian in substitute hosting on the Jim Rome Show. Big thanks to Rome and his crew and for CBS Sports Radio for entrusting me with this very valuable three-hour piece of real estate on the air today. It's been fun. 855-212-4CBS if you want to get in. It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question comes from Billy in South Florida. He says, Sean, you say that Watson is the best QB of a 4-7 team. Does Watson make the Texans head coaching job the most desirable this offseason? Well, as of right now, the only openings are the Texans and the Jets. So, yes, the Texans' job is a better job than the Jets' job. I know the Jets are going to wind up with the number one overall pick, and they're going to wind up with Trevor Lawrence. And Trevor Lawrence, look, young quarterbacks, we don't know what they're going to be. I know Trevor Lawrence is thought to be this prospect that's on the level of Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning, but you never know. With the Texans and Watson, you've got the bird in the hand. Watson is putting up these types of numbers, having been coached by Bill O'Brien for part of the season, and being coached by guys Bill O'Brien hired for the other part of the season. So I think Deshaun Watson is one of the best young quarterbacks in the game. I think it's a shame that this year of his, this season, that a season in his 20s, that the daylight is being burnt on this season. I think everything you need to know about Deshaun Watson's competitiveness, you saw when he put his shoulder into that McCourty twin at the goal line against the Patriots last week. He's a quarterback of a 2-7 team, and he's out there trucking guys down at the goal line. I realize I'm from Houston. I realize I cover every snap of Deshaun Watson. I've covered every snap of his career. I've done the pre- and post-game show for every game in which Deshaun has ever put on a uniform in the NFL. I thought highly of him coming into the league, though. I mean, how could you not think highly of him? Guy took Alabama to the limit 1 year and then beat him the next year. And he didn't just happen to be the quarterback of those teams. He took it to Alabama. And he's put up a lot of big numbers so far. It has not translated into postseason success. But if we're looking at what are the jobs that are going to be open, Houston and Atlanta. Oh, yeah, that's right. The Jets job isn't open. My bad. The Jets job will be open. Atlanta and Houston are both open. I think it's a better job than Atlanta. Atlanta and Houston are the two open positions. Before Twitter hits me up, I know the Jets aren't open. No, it just feels like they're open because Adam Gase is terrible. That's why it feels open. You know what's open for the New York Jets? The win column. It's open for business. There is nothing there right now. So yeah, the Texans and the Falcons are the two jobs that are open right now. My bad. Texans' job better than the Falcons' job. Matt Ryan's an aging quarterback. To me, and this is just my own philosophy, it's all about the quarterback. Quarterback's like the final exam in college. It's 2/3 of your grade. And the Texans have one of the best young quarterbacks in the game. Atlanta's got a good quarterback who's aging, who's currently not as good as Deshaun Watson. And he's 10 years older. So there's that. But I think the Jets will be an open job. In my mind, as you can tell, it's already an open job. I think Jacksonville is going to be an open job. Jacksonville is interesting because they've got a ton of draft capital. But it's draft capital. You don't know what those players are going to turn into. Yes, to answer your question, Billy in South Florida, it is the best job. And I would put the sizzle reel together of the first half of the Patriots game and the entire Lions game these last 2 weeks. And depending on who it is you're recruiting to be the head coach, Eric Bieniemy, Robert Saleh's name has come up, the DC for the 49ers, Joe Brady, the OC for the Panthers. We know who all the coordinators are that are out there that are going to be hot names or are already hot names. Send them that sizzle reel as if they don't know what Deshaun Watson can do. 855-212-4CBS. We just talked to Silk Bra earlier this hour. We go to Oregon. Trapper, happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
Shawnee, back at you. Long time.
I know.
Almost 3 decades. We hear to you, the years have been good to you, pal, which
yeah,
is appropriate. If anybody was ever on the tour stop runs, Sean Pendergast was a guy that had the most talent and, on the other hand, never had the hi hat. Always buddies to everybody and just a swell guy. And God bless you for all your success.
Thank you, Trap. You too.
Anyhow, good Lord, Shawnee, the memories and the relationships this show has blessed us with. I remember last time I was down in H-Town, Poindexter setting me up with a local gym and a sparring partner, getting tuned up for a scrap with one of our roadies. As usual, Silk saved me for myself. Well, anyhow, since you're an H-Town brother, I got to run with an H-Town take. Also, given it is such an honor to follow my wheelman, Silk. God knows how many times he saved me from myself on the road. But anyhow, yeah, and the tenor of what Silk, I guess, was talking about, and that is, well, here we go. Alex Cora, newly reinstated manager for the Red Sox. Yeah, that Alex Cora, the ringleader and mastermind of the Astros, sign-stealing, cheating, other stuff I can't repeat here, scandal that ensured the Astros' 17-series win. Just like the, good Lord, just like the 19 Black Sox cheats, he should have been banned for life. Heck, and the Black Sox threw that series to lose it. Enough there, my brother. Only H-Town take I could scrounge up with this morning. As for the injustice of the world, well, there is one bright light, and you know what that is, at least for me. And that basically is seeing the redheaded tyrant out of Pennsylvania Avenue, or Mar del Sluggo, or whatever his tax records now claim as residence. Yep, MAGA heads, bring it on. Last, Shawnee, on H-Town, I may be heading your way in the near future. Looks like the Sea Witch has spread, so maybe heading for your aunt. I hear a lot of good stuff about the MD Anderson Clinic, and it looks like we may need a Hail Mary. And just last night, I realized I didn't have Doug Flutie on speed dial. Mm. Congratulations on all your success, Shawnee. I'm blessed, belated, happy Thanksgiving to all the brothers and sisters out there in the jungle. And what can I say but tramps like us, babe. I'm out.
Trapper, prayers to you, man. I know your story. I know you're battling right now. If you're going to MD Anderson, first of all, you're going to the best. You're going to the best, but I know that that's tough, man. So prayers to you, Trapper. If you make it down here to Houston and the COVID allows you to be able to see some folks, be sure to find me. I'm easy to find. One of the easiest people to find in town. 6 to 10 a.m. local time, Sports Radio 610 Trap. Keep battling, buddy. Appreciate you. All right. Yeah, we go back a long way, man. Trapper and Silk and Trapper. Oh, you could do a probably better for a podcast than actually on Jim's show here. Some breaking news from Adam Schefter. It is now confirmed. Tuesday's game between the Ravens and the Steelers is postponed. Well, it's now Tuesday's game. Sunday's game between the Ravens and the Steelers is now Tuesday's game between the Ravens and the Steelers. So it's gone from Thursday to Sunday to Tuesday. And I mean, Trapp just talked about Hail Marys. This feels a little like that. They've closed the Ravens facility till Monday. They've had a huge outbreak on the team. Included in that is Lamar Jackson. And so my question would be, okay, they're playing this game on Tuesday. Then I have to imagine that there's another move here for the NFL, that the Ravens-Cowboys game, which is going to be played on Thursday, has been pushed back to Sunday, possibly. I mean, there's no way they're doing Tuesday, Thursday, obviously. So the Cowboys and the Ravens are supposed to play. And yes, it looks like Schefter is tweeting. This is what happens when you, it's going to be moved, the Cowboys-Ravens game. He doesn't say when it's going to be moved to. So that's the breaking news there. So the Ravens are going to catch the Steelers. See, this bothers me a little bit in that now those 72 Dolphins are going to have asterisk privilege. You just know Mercury Morris and Bob Greasy, whichever of the 72 Dolphins are still with us, you know that if the Steelers wind up going 16-0 and they make a run and they win out in the playoffs, that they're going to be going, well, they didn't have to face Lamar Jackson in that second game because he had the COVID. Hey, man, that's like an injury this year. COVID is basically an injury when it comes to football. I know that the virus can be more serious. Like, for example, I know a pulled hamstring is not lethal. It's not terminal. The coronavirus can be very, very dangerous. So that my comparison is not as far as the severity of the two. I'm talking about how they are treated by the NFL. I'm not really worried about the reaction on Twitter and so forth because, you know, in about a minute and a half, I'm going to go eat a bunch of turkey sandwiches and watch some football anyways. But the Ravens and the Steelers postponed. Yeah, this was a lot of fun for me today, man, to get a chance to come in, pinch hit for Jim Rome. And I'll say, in the spirit of Thanksgiving, be thankful that I didn't do one of those segments talking about what I was thankful for throughout the year, or that I was doing a segment as to what my teams should be thankful for, that I didn't do a segment where I talked about the five foods that were on my dream Thanksgiving plate. You be thankful that I didn't do those things. Instead, I pointed out that Jim Nance isn't really sure what tryptophan is. I mean, that's good radio right there. All right. We are about out of time. Want to thank my crew, Tom DeCelestino for producing today, James Bacchione for engineering today, all of you guys for tweeting and calling, good or bad, haters or no. I appreciate you tuning in, and have a great Thanksgiving week. I'm thankful for this opportunity. Most of all, thank you to Jim Rome and the crew and CBS Sports Radio for allowing me to do this. I want you guys to have an enjoyable Thanksgiving weekend, and look forward to a beautiful, beautiful holiday season. I'm Sean Pendergast. I'm out.